There is one power only. The I within is the only power. Mrs. Eddy discovered that God, infinite good, being all, evil would have to be unreal, would have to be illusion. Nothing other than the impersonal, carnal mind, a nothingness which God never endowed with actuality. Consequently, there are not two powers. At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus did not pray to a God outside of his own consciousness. If Jesus had turned to a God outside of his own consciousness, outside the kingdom of God, the I within him, he would have been in the same Adam dream state that the friends and relatives of Lazarus were in. Jesus' understanding of the truth about body was very practical. He simply commanded Lazarus, who had been buried 4 days, come forth. And Lazarus came forth with a perfectly normal, healthy body. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. That is, don't think of him as a matter body that died, but rather as a body of spiritual qualities that is eternal and harmonious. Mrs. Eddy, too, raised the dead. Like Jesus, Mrs. Eddy knew that mortals are all Lazarus, buried above ground in material sense. Christian Science is calling us to come forth from the tomb in which human birth has buried us. When the lifeless form of Calvin Fry, Mrs. Eddy's secretary, was carried into her room late one night, it was an awesome, electrifying moment for those who stood around the bed, as Mrs. Eddy called on Calvin Fry to wake up and disappoint his enemies. She knew it was mental murder, and she called on Calvin's divine being to come forth from the tomb of false belief, to lay off the grave clothes of the universal hypnotic suggestion of a mortal selfhood that dies. Mrs. Eddy did not pray to a God outside her own I to restore Calvin to life and usefulness, since she knew God, life, infinite good, is ever-present and is the only presence. She was fully aware that what faced her was an illusion, the personalization of the impersonal carnal mind, a belief that there was a power apart from God. In restoring Calvin Fry, she was demonstrating her teaching. There is no power apart from God. Nothing apart from infinite good is present or has power. And Calvin Fry responded. The appearance of death did not deceive Mrs. Eddy. She knew the I within her own God consciousness that knew no death was the only power. And to acknowledge any other power would be to dishonor God. There are not two powers. Like Jesus, she knew that if she looked to a God outside the I within her own consciousness, she would have been in the same dream as those standing by, believing Calvin Fry was dead. She knew that looking to or depending upon a power outside the kingdom of God within our own consciousness has been the error of the ages. When we see evil of any nature as something real and begin to resist it, we are resisting an illusion. Evil and error are always the impersonal carnal mind, illusion, personalizing themselves. You, like Jesus and Mrs. Eddy, can heal and harmonize when you realize there is never an evil condition or person confronting you. Quote, outside the material sense of things, all is harmony, unquote. We are never dealing with sin, sickness, inharmony, death. There isn't any. We are dealing with illusions, hypnotism. Evil and error, being universal hypnotic suggestion, are not power, but appearance only, like the mirage in the desert. We overcome the carnal mind by recognizing that it is made up of a belief in both good and evil. Quote, you are not flesh, but rather the ray of divine light that, shining upon flesh, makes it appear alive. This you is spiritual. Remember, power is exerted by merely stating a truth. All truth is the Word of God. Assert it constantly, even though your so-called mind screams falsehood. It is to acknowledge Him, the kingdom of God within your own consciousness, to have your mind stayed on Him, to be directly benefited by the activity of good. Unquote. There are not two powers, just as there are not two multiplication tables in arithmetic. Each person has the whole of it. In the same way, there is just one power, and you have all of it. There is only one life, and you have all of it. The spiritual realization of this oneness of the unity of God and man, including the universe, starts us correcting the belief that man is mortal and material, and reveals our divinity. With the second coming of the Christ, the world began its transition from a material sense of things to a spiritual sense, a transition that will continue until you realize your divinity and the final immersion of human consciousness in the infinite ocean of love. This omnipotent act drops the curtain on material man and mortality. After this, man's identity or consciousness reflects only spirit, good, whose visible being is invisible to the physical senses. But man, born of the great forever, lives on. It all depends on learning the science of our being and living what we learn. Brief 6, The Great Discovery. Review of The Great Discovery. Let us go back for a moment. It was February 1866. Mrs. Eddy, then Mrs. Glover, lay on her deathbed as the result of an accident. Suddenly the truth that had for many years been slowly dawning burst upon her waiting thought with indescribable power and inspiration. It was a moment of ineffable awe, wonder, and exaltation, as she suddenly realized that life is God. God was her life. She found herself healed. Such a revelation could only come through the noblest and purest type of womanhood. It must be remembered that Mrs. Eddy's divine revelation came directly from God, not from the Bible. It was, quote, hopelessly original, unquote. It was only after receiving this astounding revelation and searching the scriptures for confirmation of it that she was able to interpret the Bible in a new and spiritual light. That short experience, she wrote, included a glimpse of the great fact that I have since tried to make plain to others, namely, life in and of spirit. This life being the sole reality of existence. Unquote. Mrs. Eddy wrote, in the year 1866, I discovered the Christ science, or divine laws of life, truth, and love, and named my discovery Christian Science. God had been graciously preparing me during many years for the reception of this final revelation of the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing. Unquote. With this discovery and final revelation, scriptural prophecy was fulfilled. Jesus said, Scripture cannot be broken. If we believe the Bible, then we know that eventually someone, sometime, will fulfill scriptural prophecy. That Mrs. Eddy was fulfilling Bible prophecy was not seen by many any more than 2,000 years ago it was seen by many in the case of Jesus. People may believe the prophecies, but in both the case of Jesus and of Mary Baker Eddy, the person who was fulfilling prophecy was rejected by all except a few spiritually minded followers. When Mrs. Eddy read from the Revelations chapters 10 and 12, she could have said to her listeners, quote, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears," unquote. But because the world focused on the corporeal Mary Baker Eddy, just as 2,000 years ago it had focused on the corporeal Jesus, it failed to perceive the incorporeal Christ, the animating and impelling divine force back of Mary Baker Eddy's and Jesus' life work. Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Unquote. Only a science can abide with us forever. Unheeded by the world in general is this promise and prophecy by Jesus, which Christian scientists realize has been fulfilled in the second coming of the Christ, which Mary Baker Eddy brought to humanity. Mrs. Eddy knew St. John was not prophesying her person or the personality of any individual, but rather that his vision symbolically depicts spiritual truth, the spiritual truth revealed to Mrs. Eddy and recorded in her writings, that man is the spiritual, incorporeal expression of infinite good. This divinely scientific identification is true generically. That is, it is true of every individual in the world. What demonstrably fulfills St. John's prophecy is the life work of Mary Baker Eddy as discoverer, founder, revelator, demonstrator, and leader of Christian science. In this age, Mrs. Eddy's discovery and establishment of Christian science represents a permanent dispensation of the truth concerning humanity, of the transcendent vision of reality prophesied by St. John. No one before Mrs. Eddy's time discovered the science that lay behind Jesus' so-called miracles. It took the fullness of time for God's self-asserting ever-presence to dawn on the consciousness of the one most ready and most able to discern it, helped by the many saints who down the centuries had given their all. The Protestant Reformation, the invention of the printing press, which caused a great rise in literacy, the founding of the United States for religious and political freedom, and the abolition of slavery in America. See the author's America, Cradled for the Second Coming of the Christ, for these contributing factors which led up to Mary Baker Eddy's great discovery and fulfillment of prophecy. Meaning of the missions of Melchizedek, Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy. Mrs. Eddy reminds us that the words of St. Matthew, "It is not good to marry," have special application to Christian scientists. But after marriage is assumed, she insists on faithful allegiance thereto, just as to any debt or church obligation. Jesus contracted no such debts, Mrs. Eddy, all of them. But she became what is biblically called the bride, when she was forced to find the scientific solution for them and show humanity how to become, as the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Why is this important to us? Because Melchizedek appeared on earth, quote, "without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." Hebrews describes him as King of righteousness, King of peace. This is important because, one, Melchizedek appeared on earth without father, without mother. Two, Jesus next appeared with only one parent, a human mother. Three, Mary Baker Eddy, in the second coming of the Christ, appeared with both a human father and a human mother. She had to work out the entire problem of the last enemy, mortal birth, and so give to mortals the scientific explanation of how they too can work out of mortality and inherit the promise given in Hebrews. Quote, "The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou, meaning you, art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Unquote. Your real being, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, made like unto the Son of God, never had a human birth ending in death. Which hope we have, says Hebrews, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered. Even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Unquote. In proportion as we understand and demonstrate the word of the second coming of the Christ, we are made a high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, and begin to understand, before Abraham was, I am. Fashioned after the endless life that Mrs. Eddy caught a glimpse of in the great revelation that came to her in 1866, namely, life in and of spirit, and this life being the sole reality of existence. Unquote. Mrs. Eddy chose God above all else. This choice spiritually prepared her for her mission to fulfill prophecy and revealed to the world the promised Comforter, divine science, which now needs only to be practiced. Mrs. Eddy's writings are her autobiography in cryptogram. This is why we find her only in her writings. Her writings are your autobiography too, in proportion to your understanding and demonstration of these writings. She saw all humanity, each individual, enfolded in the love that maintains and sustains our divine identity forever. This is why her message in the secular press, Boston Globe, is addressed to beloved Christian Scientists. She knew that in reality, every individual on this planet is, in reality, a Christian Scientist. Contemplating the one and only cause, which was love, Mrs. Eddy knew it could produce only harmony, wholeness, peace, and perfection. Problems stem from that lack of awareness of who and what we actually are as God beings. The problem is never a condition or a person. It is material sense, personal sense, hypnotism, or the universal belief in a selfhood apart from God. Our work is to realize, I am what God is. The spiritual universe, the kingdom of God within you, constituted of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, as it operates in the fourfold calculus of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, on four levels of spiritual consciousness: science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, in which there is no matter, is complete here and now. Being does not grow out of yesterday. It is always the infinite origin made present, like any concept of mathematics. Nothing can be added to this kingdom of God. Nothing can be taken from it. This realization heals unwanted growths, since the only growth is the unfolding awareness of reality, and it heals a sense of lack in or wasting away of the body, since there is only the wasting away, the falling away, of all that obstructs our vision of the allness of infinite good, spirit. Spirit is the only substance, and it can't diminish any more than 2 times 2 equal 4 can diminish, nor can anything be added to divine perfection. In spirit, your divine consciousness, the kingdom within you, There is only infinite divine activity. There is no warfare, no conflict, nothing that can irritate. Is someone sick or dying? There can be no death, since there is no material body to get rid of. Mrs. Eddy never ceased trying to awaken her students to present immortality. The help is not to heal a disease or raise the dying, but to realize spiritual identity and the nature of our true being. Remember, there is never a life to be saved, since life is continually unfolding from the standpoint of divine principle, from the I that I am. It is unfolding from fulfillment, never from physical effects. Is someone malpracticing on you or your loved one? God, infinite good alone is power. Human thoughts are not power, except a human false belief. Mrs. Eddy urged us to stay with the infinite good, with love, which alone is life, and which is our spiritual identity today and always. Keep your thought going out in love to all mankind, she urged. Little recognition is given Mrs. Eddy today. Many today are unfairly publishing as their own revelation what they learned from Mrs. Eddy's writing, without giving her credit. But while this is dishonest, it can only in the end bless and glorify her sacred God-directed mission. As she herself commented on injuries done her, quote, when these things cease to bless, they will cease to occur, unquote. It was only after Mary Baker Eddy began teaching her great discovery that the most spiritually minded of humanity began to understand infinite good sufficiently to do, to a large extent, the same healing work throughout the entire world that Jesus had done in Galilee. Joseph Mann, who for 17 years lived in Mrs. Eddy's home, wrote, "All Christian scientists have shared in a greater or less degree the blessing of being healed and of seeing others healed. But all have not acknowledged to the world their individual experiences. For if they had, the world would resound with their united voices with the praises of still more wonderful healing than it has yet witnessed." Unquote. Nevertheless, by 1906, it was estimated that 2 million healings had already directly resulted from Christian Science treatment. Thus was ushered in, with signs and wonders, the holy, hallowed, second coming of the Christ, revealing man's present divinity. The I am that I am is God. There is no existence apart from God. As we see ourselves from the standpoint of principle, we become aware of the oneness of being. Then each one can say, I am that I am. That is principle, God. Jesus never saw himself as something apart from God, and neither should we. Proportionately, as we lay off the illusion that we have an existence separate from infinite good, we too can say, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, mind. Mrs. Eddy once said that the reason church scientists do not demonstrate supply is because they consider themselves man, effect, image, manifestation, reflection, instead of God, mind. When all the while the kingdom of God is within their very own spiritual consciousness. As Jesus said, I and the Father, mind, are one. There are never two. There is only the one manifesting itself as you. This one includes all supply. When will mankind awake to know their present ownership of all good, unquote, and realize that since they are already one with infinite good, there is no need to acquire anything or to achieve something? But, of course, until this is spiritually realized, we must strive. since God helps those who help themselves. God works as we work, that is, as we let Him work. We work to get a mortal sense of self out of the way, so that I, our divine identity, our oneness with God, is realized. Then He, the kingdom of God within you, performeth the thing which is appointed for me. If we demonstrate our God-being, our present perfection, then everything needful is added. Desire is prayer, but only the desire to understand God. Desire for material things, things that must be sacrificed in order to reach spiritual understanding, is not prayer. It is sin in Christian Science. Realizing there is only one being, only the one I, brings the awareness that there are no matter bodies to separate us from each other. The I of you is also the I of me, since there is but one I or us. When this individual I of you is understood, it will overturn, until good alone reigns supreme in your consciousness. Quote, science and understanding, governed by the unerring and eternal mind, destroy the imaginary co-partnership matter and mind. This suppositional partnership is already obsolete, for matter, examined in the light of divine metaphysics, disappears. One moment of divine consciousness, obtained and retained, would bridge over with life discerned spiritually the interval of death, and man would be in the full consciousness of his immortality and eternal harmony, unquote. His divinity would be revealed. But the mortal in us dies slowly. It wants to be somebody. Only sharp experiences and ceaseless woes finally turn us to divine love, and we begin to learn life in divine science. Mostly, students have two creations, a false material one that they have to overcome, and a true spiritual creation they think they must demonstrate instead of recognizing as the ever-present and only creation. In a letter, Mrs. Eddy said, "The danger to the student is popularity and power, self-seeking instead of self-abasement. I have washed their feet and continue to do so, and they must wash one another's feet instead of elbowing each other, or they never can follow the example of our exemplar. Envy is the atmosphere of hell." Unquote. Woman, meaning science, explains. Divinely defined, Mrs. Eddy says, science is the atmosphere of God. Infinite good, our mind, conscious only of itself, is the atmosphere of God. Thus, science represents the fact that our mind, which is God, knows only itself. But since science operates as the redeemer of mankind, Mrs. Eddy shows how the divine concept translates itself from the divine science level to the human consciousness. So she adds, quote, "Humanly construed, because mortals have to learn this science step by step in order to lay off the illusion of being a mortal, and according to Webster, it is knowledge duly arranged, because a science cannot be learned as one amorphous mass. It must be presented as an infinitely differentiated oneness, and referred to general truths and principles on which it is founded, and from which it is derived. I employ this all-filled word in both a divine and human sense." Unquote. Only as we pore over her writings, the final revelation of the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing that she received in 1866, applying ourselves with extraordinary diligence, dedication, perseverance, and consecration, do we progress in learning the system of divine metaphysics, which Mrs. Eddy worked 40 years to state perfectly. Jesus manifested the fatherhood of God. Mary Baker Eddy manifested the motherhood of God. Science is symbolized as woman. Woman symbolizes that which explains, makes a subject clear to the human mind, as Jesus indicated the Comforter, divine science, would do. Could arithmetic or any other science be explained unless it had a system, a comforter? Divine science has now been reduced to a system. Her discovery reveals the scientific system of divine laws that constitute the one being. An honest, earnest, consecrated study of the divine symbols in Mrs. Eddy's writings guides our thought to a definite understanding of the divine laws which constitute reality. Learning these laws results in a cultured spiritual consciousness. Quote, as we rise, the symbols disappear, unquote, and thought flows spontaneously. Much research and study has been done, and dedicated students have written and lectured extensively on this system of divine metaphysics contained in the Christian Science textbook. Brief 7. The numerals of infinity. Our body and the 7 synonyms for God. Divine science, to be a science, must have a system. The term system is applied to any set of interrelated principles or laws. And Mrs. Eddy writes that in the year 1866, she was led to the discovery of the system that she denominated Christian Science. With an understanding of her system, divine science can continuously unfold like music or mathematics, bringing to light man's divine identity, causing darkness to disappear. Reading the first edition's chapter 4, Creation, we must bear in mind that no shadow of darkness found a place in Mrs. Eddy's interpretation of the 7 days of creation. In her final edition, she speaks of them as the numerals of infinity, called 7 days, can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. These days will appear as mortality disappears, and they will reveal eternity, newness of life, in which all sense of error disappears, and thought accepts the divine, infinite calculus, unquote, as our true divine identity. These numerals of infinity, namely mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, operate in a divine calculus of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. In her system, to which she reduced divine metaphysics, these numerals in their divine infinite calculus operate on 4 levels of spiritual consciousness, namely science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. Readers schooled in scholastic logic, unaware that Mrs. Eddy is constantly writing on 4 different levels of consciousness, may question her divine infinite logic. Nevertheless, it is a faultless scientific logic, a logic which coincides with revelation, from which there is no escape, since it is the logic of truth, of divine light. Mrs. Eddy revealed infinite good, or God, as a science, as a universally available life principle, which operates according to divine laws, which can be taught, as she tells us repeatedly, in all 432 editions of Science and Health. Of course, it is the spirit that makes it alive. The letter alone, without the spirit, killeth. This must be remembered in the explanation of the review of the 7 synonyms that follows. Could arithmetic be taught to the learner if it had only 1 numeral instead of 10? Or if all 10 meant exactly the same thing? For example, if a 2 meant the same as a 6 or a 7? Could music be taught to a child if it only had 1 note, or if all 7 notes meant exactly the same thing? Could arithmetic be taught without media through which the numerals can operate, such as addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division? Could music be taught unless there are the media or tone, rhythm, melody, and harmony through which the seven notes of do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do operate. In her writings, Mrs. Eddy has endowed each of the seven synonyms for God, the numerals of infinity, with special qualities and attributes. They all refer to one indivisible God. The one divine principle includes them all. Just as in arithmetic, all the numerals refer to one indivisible principle. In divine science, can this one infinite principle be explained to the beginner other than by investigating the ideas that individually characterize each of the seven synonyms, which, taken together, constitute infinite good's nature? The ideas characterizing the seven synonyms differ greatly from each other, even though they blend harmoniously. Certain qualities and attributes are always used with certain synonyms, except when the qualities and attributes are used to correct a negative. Then ideas which intrinsically characterize a synonym are sometimes used with another synonym. For instance, power intrinsically belongs to mind. But when a negative needs correcting, we might read, quote, the power of love is necessary to correct the illusion of hatred, or the power of life is necessary to correct the belief of death, or the power of spirit to overrule mortal material sense, or to prove the power of spirit over the flesh. Let us take a moment to look at these seven synonyms for God. 1. Mind. There is only one mind, and that is infinite good expressing itself out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for itself, for its own glorification. This one mind that is God is your mind in reality. The qualities and attributes which characterize the seven synonyms for God constitute your divine body. They constitute the I of you and are the real body, the temple of the living God. Let's see what it is that makes up your true divine body. In Mrs. Eddy's writings, we find this mind expresses itself and is characterized by such qualities and attributes as all acting, all hearing, all knowing, alertness, basis, cause, control, creates all. There are not two groups of creation, one spiritual and the other material. Rather, the objects of sense, when correctly seen, are really ideas of soul, as Mrs. Eddy told Martha Wilcox. Mind directs, discovers. Mind is energy, expression. Mind is first. It is the image, idea, law. It forms everything. Mind is the power that forms the image. It is intelligence, influence. Mind is force. It includes all. The I that is mind is a law to the body, and the body moves according to the decree of mind. All the information that is needed for perfect action and being comes through mind, through the recognition that all that God is, I am. Mind is further characterized as light, as that which leads, guides, as that which makes, as medicine, origin, one, the one and only power. Mind produces, presents, reveals. It reveals itself to the expectant consciousness. Quote, become conscious for a single moment that life and intelligence are purely spiritual, and you will find yourself suddenly well, unquote. Number 2, spirit. The qualities and attributes of spirit that constitute your true divine body, your eternal body, are those which keep everything pure. Therefore, spirit is characterized in Mrs. Eddy's writings as the only. It keeps our mind stayed on thee, on the real. It keeps our mind dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. It focuses on the purity of mind's creation. Since all is begotten of the divine mind, all creation is pure mind, or a spiritual creation. Spirit is understanding, but it is not the understanding of the human mind. It is God's understanding, that understanding to which divine science is lifting us. Spirit is characterized as the baptism of love, as that which blesses, as spiritual birth. Spirit is the substance out of which the image in mind is formed. Spirit being understanding, reality is therefore the only substance. Spirit is the firmament that separates the unreal from the real, the right and true, that which always chooses the good. Spirit discerns, develops, and unfolds what mind initiates. Spirit is characterized by such qualities and attributes as order, nature, gratitude, good, illumination, progress, patience, strength. Spirit, God, gathers unformed thoughts into their proper channels and unfolds these thoughts in order that the holy purpose may appear, unquote. These qualities and attributes constitute your true body and your divinity, your understanding, which of course is infinite good's understanding. Number 3, soul. The qualities and attributes of soul that constitute your spiritual and real body have much to do with identity, the one I or ego. The I, the divine ego that constitutes your being, is your true divine identity. In soul, you become aware of that which you already are, and always have been, as a divine being, and that there is no such thing as mortality. Soul is the synonym for God that Mrs. Eddy used most in the first edition of Science and Health. She had seen man's true identity as forever intact, forever one with God. There is only one soul, and that is God, expressing itself, as your true selfhood, as spiritual sense, spiritual understanding, as your unchangeable, spiritual, sinless identity. Science and Health also characterizes soul as that which reverses error, reforms, transforms, satisfies, is free, that which shows everything to be intact, having the seed within itself. Soul makes everything we learned in mind and spirit definite and changeless. Soul is that spiritual sense that resurrects our true divine qualities, where we know we have no qualities of our own other than the qualities and attributes that constitute that I am. In spirit, spiritual birth takes place. Then in soul, through the spiritual birth process, we exchange sense testimony for spiritual understanding, which brings freedom, and we gain a balance on the side of good. This spiritual understanding, this soul sense, enables us to rebuke and reverse error, bringing repentance and reform. This in turn brings freedom, because repentance and reform bring to light our true identity. The intactness of soul wipes out all that is not godlike. Soul is that quality that exchanges mental malpractice for sinless spiritual integrity. The discords in human life arise from the false belief that the matter body you see in the mirror is you, when it is merely illusion, no more real than the mirage you see in the desert. Your real body is the temple of the living God. Infinite good is your selfhood. Because of the nature of your true, sinless identity, nothing can enter from without to mar or touch your true being. Soul's capacity for joy, beauty, and spiritual integrity is unlimited.